we've been looking at personal integrity, and we focused for many weeks on the inner life, and we're moving on, or we've moved on since last week, to integrity in our relationships as authentic Christians. The title for today's message is Freedom to Truly Love. Now, really, when you look at Scripture and you look at the teachings of our Lord Jesus and the apostles and the whole Scripture, it is about love. The goal of all our instruction is love. The Lord Jesus made it very clear. He said, all the commands and the prophets is about two things, really. It's about loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our strength, all our might, all our souls. In other words, wholehearted devotion to God. And we work that one out by obeying Him completely. We work out our love for God through our obedience to Him, doing His will and His will alone. The second aspect of our love is to love people. And the way we work that one out is by treating people as we would like to be treated. Now, when you look at the title of today's message, I'd like to draw your attention to the word truly. See, the reason why that word is there is because some things that look like loving action has got the wrong motive behind it. See, all of us, every human being is going to be judged by God. We Christians are going to appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for reward. And our desire is to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. Not for all our works or all our efforts to burn up as wood, hay, stubble, as useless, that we've wasted the life God has given us, apparently loving or doing loving acts. But God is going to judge not just the act, but the motive behind it. So we need to check our motives constantly. That's why the word truly is there. Because two people could do the same thing that appears loving. One of them is doing it for the right reasons, which is because God said it's the right thing to do. And so we obey Him and do it. The other person may be doing it because they are afraid. So they do it out of self-preservation. There are many people who do apparent acts of love, but actually, if you check their motivation, it's because they are afraid. So they do it out of self-preservation. That's the wrong motive. Some people do it out of self-promotion. That's the other end of it. They do it so that people can say how wonderful they are. Or they create something in this world that people will say, you're successful. They do it for that reason. That's the wrong motive. So we need to, first of all, pay attention to our motives. And because of that, I'd like us to be reflective for the first few minutes. I want us to reflect and think. You don't have to tell anybody next to you. Nobody can hear your thoughts. There's nobody here who knows how to read your thoughts. So you can be honest. Be honest before the Spirit of the Living God. Because if you don't correctly diagnose a problem, you won't be able to solve it. We don't say these things so we can gain more head knowledge, so we can actually apply these things in our lives and become more like Jesus, and become more like God wants us to be, and end up hearing those special words, well done, you good and faithful servant. Now, so please be honest. I'd like you to think about your relationships. Could be your immediate family, could be your extended family, could be colleagues at work, your relationship with clients, or people you serve. It could be long-distance relationships with extended family or with people just across continents. Social media And cheap communication will make it possible for people to influence our lives from different continents in the world. The world is growing smaller in that sense. Your life could in fact be hijacked by people who are very far away because they can get hold of you in a moment. Now, so any relationship, maybe all of them or one of them or some of them, just think about the way you relate to people. And answer this question for yourself. Do you feel powerless? Maybe sometimes or most of the time. I'll explain what that means. That you experience pressure in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships, that make you do things that other people want you to do, good or bad, but not from your free will. If you don't have self-control, if people are controlling you and pulling your strings, and you're complying, it's probably because you're afraid of them in some way. You're probably afraid that if you didn't comply with what they want you to do, good or bad, that you will lose the relationship. You don't want to be cut off. You don't want for them to gang up and attack you or something. And so they have you under their control because you're afraid. You're powerless in that relationship or in those relationships. Or you may just be afraid that they may get upset and angry with you. You're so timid, that's easily frightened, that you're scared if somebody is going to yell at you or be angry with you. And so you comply. There is pressure inside your soul, and you're under their control. Well, it's not the will of God for you, brothers and sisters. If you answered yes, start praying and asking the Holy Spirit to deliver you today before we're done, and to keep delivering you. Because God said, well, he's given you a spirit of power. It is not for you to bully people, but what it means is that you are actually in charge of your own life. You have to have self-control. And we know that it's when you believe in God and walk in the Spirit that you truly get that self-control. But you're responsible for your own life. And if your strings are being pulled by anybody else, you need to get free. The other thing you need to think is, if you are powerless, you will feel victimized. You're going to be walking around like a victim who's, you know, powerless to do anything about my situation. And that is a very dangerous position to be in for yourself. See, because if you then, from that position, do acts of love, apparent love, that you're complying with what people tell you is loving, they may even try to blackmail you and you say you're a Christian. This is how Christians should behave. And they use that to bewitch you, really. It's about witchcraft. People control you. They're witches. See, witchcraft is not only when people get demons to do something. It is when people override your will in any way possible. Anybody who's using emotional blackmail or spiritual blackmail to override your own will is acting in witchcraft. It's also a sin of the flesh, Galatians 5 tells us, as well as a spiritual sin like sorcery, when people then start to use demons to control people. The whole point is they want to override your will, so you start to do their will. Anybody who's doing that is making you a victim. And it's not God's will for you. If you allow that to happen, you may be doing those things they require to do, but you'll be doing it by force. You'll be doing it with resentment, even with anger in your heart. But because you're too afraid to be free, you continue to comply, and one day you will explode. It will overwhelm you. Because it's not the way God created us to live. Now, if you give in to those two things, you're going to start building walls because you have to defend yourself somehow. And if you're too timid to say to people, no, respectfully and lovingly, what you do is you start hiding. you start to isolate yourself and build walls around you. You become lonely. And brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about your marital status. I'm not talking about whether you live alone or not. I'm not talking about whether you have children or not. Every human being is in the same boat. Because you can be married and be isolated and lonely. You can live with many people coming and going in your house and still be isolated and lonely. Because what we're talking about is the inner pressure that you're defending yourself from. And you build those walls inside. And God did not create us to be like that, did you know? God created us for relationships with Him and with each other. We need to be connected with safe people. I'm going to be saying that a lot today. You need to be connected with safe people. You need to be a safe person to relate to so you don't manipulate and control people to override their will in order for them to make you feel better or live life the way you want them to live. You don't do that. That makes you an unsafe person to be around or to connect to. And people need to defend themselves against you if that's the case. But if you're a safe person, God wants you to connect with other safe people. That is God's will for us. That's what this love in relationships, the true love in relationships, that's what it's about. Safe connections with people who are safe, not isolated and lonely. And then, finally, do you feel subdued? Instead of submitted, see, being subdued, it could be if you arrest somebody so they can't move freely, you've subdued them. What we're talking about is being arrested in your soul by people. So you're not submitting, you're just being forced to behave in a certain way in order to get the approval of the people. You've been put into bondage. You're a slave to those people, whoever they are. And that's not God's intention. God's intention is that we should be submitted. And submission is a powerful thing. Anybody who hasn't got power cannot really submit. If you haven't got power, if you're not an overcomer instead of a victim, if you're not connected properly, then you're not submitting when you do what people are saying. You're submitting when you're powerful. Look at Jesus Christ. He's God. But the Bible tells us that even though he's equal with God, he didn't mind submitting to God as Son to Father. And as a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world, he submitted till he died. But even so, he said, nobody's taking my life from me. I'm laying it down by myself. If you cannot say that, if you cannot say, you're not forcing me to do anything, I am doing it because I want to do it. That's submission. I am doing what Tim says because I want to do it, because he has spiritual authority and other authority over me. And it's not because I'm a powerless person with no mind at all. It's because I am choosing to do that as a powerful person. Submission is a beautiful thing. But God does not intend for us to be subdued by anybody. If anybody has answered yes to that, don't be ashamed. Most people are like that because they don't think about it. Don't be ashamed to admit it to yourself. Just say to the Lord, set me free today, and continue to set me free. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, Paul said as much to Timothy, and the context is similar, but you know, maybe a different thing he's talking about. He was talking about Timothy's calling and election, fulfilling the gift that was in him and using it to serve people instead of being timid. Timid means easily frightened. Remember that popular Bible passage? This is the context in which it applies. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If you're like those ones I said, you're not thinking clearly. You won't have a sound mind. But God wants us to have a sound mind. Praise God. Now, Paul also wrote to the Galatians. Now, the Galatians were Gentiles who had become Christians, repented of their sins, put their trust in Jesus, and heard the true gospel. But then some Jews, not all of them, some Jewish Christians, decided to hijack them and preach to them a gospel that is slightly different. And, you know, maybe to please them so they can boast and say, we've got these people behaving like Jews. Now, these Gentiles are like us Jews, Christian Jews. And they wanted them to believe that their salvation was not enough the way it was. They needed to add the tradition of the Jews, particularly the tradition of circumcision. And Paul said to them, who bewitched you? See that word again? Who has hijacked your soul? Who bewitched you that you are behaving like this? Paul said to them, he said to the Galatians in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then Paul, he didn't just scold the Galatians, he also put himself in the picture. He said earlier in Galatians 1:10, he said to them, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Some of these Bible passages, we read them without meditating on them, and we think we know all that he's talking about. Let's look at this very briefly. Paul is saying that so long as he's trying to please people, he cannot serve God. You can't serve both. People are trying, many Christians are trying to do both. And it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Now, he's also said the word still. Am I still trying to, if I were still trying to please people? You see, there is a point in your life as a Christian, authentic Christian, where you make a decision. You can make it today if you haven't. If you don't, haven't got this reference point. But if you do have a reference point, I know that when I was in my late teens, I came to that point where I made a decision that I'm going to do the will of God, no matter who agrees with me or not. And I've lived like that till today. But when you make that decision, you know what happens? You're set free inside. That's actually sometimes what I think the Bible describes as your first love. When you make that decision, maybe before it starts being tested, you're radical for Jesus. You will do what God asks you to do no matter who tells you otherwise. I remember it very well. You're prepared to preach the gospel. You don't care whether people laugh at you or not. Does anybody relate to that? There is a time when you're like that. But you know what has happened? The desire to belong, to please people, not continuing to be free, creeps in. Like the Galatians, and you've been bewitched again and made powerless and ineffective as a servant of God. You're into self-preservation mode and self-protection mode. We need to get back to our first love. And if you haven't got that reference point, now is your opportunity. Because you can't actually truly serve God except you have got to the point where you say, I am only going to do the will of God. And if anybody or anything or any circumstance or any threat tries to make me not do the will of God, I'm going to say no, respectfully and lovingly. And if anything wants to make me stop doing what God says, Pearl, you should do this. And somebody says, I don't want you to do it because it doesn't suit me for you to do it. I'm going to say, no, I'd rather obey God than you. That is freedom. And we have to protect that freedom. So, brothers and sisters, I know some people would remember this better if they have a diagram in their mind. As the way we think, That circle on the screen, let it represent me or you. If you're living your life for the approval of human beings, you're in bondage. Don't deceive yourself. You're a slave. You've allowed yourself to be enslaved again. You cannot truly love until you stop trying to please people, because your motive will be wrong. I learned soon after I made that decision in my late teens to do only the will of God. God started to help me to get free. I realized that there's so many people in this world that want you to do their will. They don't want you to do the will of God. And as I became more and more empowered, I found I was now able to truly love people. Because I could do good things for people. I could make sacrifices for people. I could be generous to people without an ulterior motive, without expecting them to say thank you to me. It doesn't upset me if I'm generous to you and you attack me. Do you know that? That's freedom. That's genuine love. I would do good things to you, even if you're my enemy. If God puts you in a position where God's saying, help that person, I'll help you. Because it's not about you. It's not about the thank you you're going to give me. I'm free of that. It is about, well done, good and faithful servant, which is the other side of it. You can't be free until you learn to live before an audience of one. That is God. And I mean God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you live like that, then you will love in such a way that it will cross over into eternity and you will be rich. Your treasure will be great in heaven. Do you know Jesus Christ said, if you do things in order to get thank you from people, he said, that's all the reward you're going to get. God is not going to reward you for that, no matter how big a sacrifice it is. Do you know what Paul said? He said, you can give your body to be burned. You can give all your possessions to the poor, and you will not gain anything. If you're doing it so people can say, what a wonderful person you are. It will only make sense when God himself says, your motive is right. Well done. Then you will have freedom. You will truly love. Anything that happens outside of this condition of not trying to please people has got the wrong motivation. It is not truly love. It is that person is just manipulating people for their own good. Love. And then you will have that spirit of power. No pressure inside of your soul. None. And you'll be fruitful. Fruitful fruits that will remain because it will cross over into eternity. You know, when somebody dies, like Tim tells us, you can't even go home to tidy your house. It's all done. Your workplace that you're killing yourself over only, I'm not saying don't work hard, mind you, but work hard because God says you should. Not because you're trying to get a promotion or impress people. Now, a side effect is that people who are sensible will be impressed. But that's not what you're looking for. And people who are sensible will promote you because you're a good worker. But that's not what you're aiming for. You're just aiming to do the will of God. To serve God. Then it crosses over. Every action that is done for the sake of the glory of God will cross over into eternity and become a treasure in heaven. That is where it matters, brothers and sisters. Even if we live to be 120 years, which we know is not possible, by the time you get to 100, you say, Lord, take me home. I've had enough. You know, so let's be realistic and say 100 years. But think of eternity, it doesn't stop. So why would you expend all your energy and time for things that don't cross over into eternity? Whereas everything you do on earth, if you do it for the sake of the glory of God, will cross over into eternity. Because it's being done for the love of God and for the love of people. Let's be understanding of that fact and examine ourselves even daily and make sure that we're free to love. We have the power to do the will of God, to submit in the way we should. Powerful submission, not subdued, but powerful submission, and we'll be fruitful. Praise God. Now, talking about freedom, we need to think about that word, especially as I have a lot of young people here, or young people who I hope will listen to this. Parents, if you're a young person and transitioning into adulthood is not hearing this, encourage them to listen to it, because it will save you a lot of grief in your life if you learn what it really means to be free. Because sometimes what people call freedom is not freedom at all. It is bondage. Now let's use this illustration. I hope you can see that clearly. It's a lovely garden, well-tended garden. And I know some people in this church that have a fish pond like this one. Lovely, amazing. And they take good care of it. Now look at this pond here. It is perfect for those fish. The owner is taking good care of that pond. They've got all the nutrients they need. It's cleaned out for them. They have a lovely community. No predators in there to destroy. It's a lovely community. Now, suppose one of those fish looks out into the garden. Just suppose they could see the garden and think, oh, wow, look at all that garden. And they look at their pond again and say, this is restrictive. Look at these boundaries around this pond and look at the whole garden. Why should I stay in this small pond when there's a whole world out there? And just suppose that fish has the power to take a flying leap and jump out of the water into the rest of the garden in the quest for freedom. What's going to happen to that fish? He would die. I don't know whether they feel pain, but it would be a very painful death. Except somebody has mercy on them and just take that fish and throws it back where it belongs. Many people, they think that freedom means lack of restriction. No. You can't be free except you're in the environment, doing what God created you to do. You cannot be free except you're doing the will of God completely. I hope I've proved it to you. Because God created us, and He knows what is best for us. So if somebody's telling you, if you become a Christian, they tell you, don't do this, don't do that, it's such a restricted life. Well, whatever God tells you not to do will kill you if you do it. So be wise. And find out what God says in the Bible. Whatever He says you should do, do it. Whatever He says don't do it. Because your life, your well-being, your peace, your joy depends on that. You cannot be free except you're doing the will of God. Nobody, no human being on earth can be free if they're not doing the will of God. There's a song we sing, for it's only in your will that I am free. So let's understand freedom. I don't want people to misunderstand me. I'm not saying the absence of all restriction. I'm saying that freedom means you're doing the will of God. Otherwise, that's where you should start, by repenting and saying, God, I'm going to do your will now. Because if I don't do your will and continue to do your will, I'll be like that silly fish that jumped out of its natural environment and died. So let's bear that in mind. But can we transfer this illustration into our soul? Okay? So remember that your soul needs to have boundaries. Can you see where I'm going with this? You're free. For you to be, let's assume you're free. Your soul has boundaries that God has put in place. And you need to know what they are. So you see that garden there. I love that garden. Can you see how beautiful it is? If you walk into that garden, you will immediately say, who owns this garden? The person is a very good gardener. You don't say, it just happened like that. You say, somebody has control of that garden and is the owner of the garden. That's why self-control is crucial. Self-control means that that garden is under your control. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it said, guard your heart. And it means your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. Guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. Now, somebody who is perfectly free in their soul and obeying God perfectly and not allowing any rubbish to come in from outside, not allow anything else to hijack control, imagine their soul to be like this well-kept garden. So this person has cleared out all the rubbish. They're totally obeying God. And they're constantly learning what God says is the right thing to do, and they're applying it in their lives. Then when something encroaches, this person will see it. If you have a garden like this and there's even the tiniest bit of rubbish, it will stand out, wouldn't it? But imagine if you had a neighbor whose garden is like that. Now this is the, you know, I just thought I wouldn't disgust people too much. For those listening on screen, it's just about the most untidy garden you can imagine without being totally disgusted. Now this garden, obviously, this person has got big issues. If you're considering this to be somebody's soul, unfortunately that's how many people's souls are. Because this garden is full of rubbish. This person is not enjoying their garden. They're not free. They've got many issues. Remember, this is representing somebody's soul. By that I mean their minds, how they think. They don't have a sound mind. I'm talking about their emotions. They're not enjoying perpetual peace and joy. I'm talking about their choices. Choices are confusing them and ruining their lives. That is that person. But this is the neighbor. Remember, we're talking about relationships. So the situation, imagine the beautiful garden, the well-kept soul, having to relate to this neighbor, any other relationship who's got issues. Can you see where I'm going with this as well, about relationships? Now, the person with a well-kept garden, how do you guard your soul so that this person does not throw their rubbish into your garden? That is what we're talking about. That's what Paul was talking to the Galatians about. That's what we started with. Because if you're subdued, overpowered in your soul, in your relationships, if you're isolated because you're now building walls and hiding yourself, that is how your soul is. You don't want that. And how you start that is by convincing yourself that you can never satisfy people. Don't live to appease people or to approve them, for their approval. Live to do the will of God. And then you will truly love people. Now, the person with no issues in their soul can help this person. You do realize that's love. They're not helping the person so their garden can be okay. Because they've got their garden, they're in control, they have self-control in their garden, and they're making sure that nobody hijacks that control. By knowing when to say yes, when to say no, and knowing how to keep their souls, guarding their souls from all this. But they can say to the person, I know how to sort out gardens, praise God. If you're willing, because that garden is your responsibility, if you're willing, I can help you. Or let's say this person is disabled and not able to help themselves. And then you go to the person and lovingly help them to sort out their garden. That is bearing one another's burdens. That is genuine love. But you do not cross over the line and start taking full responsibility because you're not going to be able to do it. Then you'll have a situation where you sort out the garden. Then the person says, oh, very nice. Can you come and do it again next month? Because I'm going to go back putting all the rubbish there. And that's what some people do. They cross over the line in doing good and they're trying to make somebody else do what is right. No, you can't do that. You can point them in the right direction. You can help. You can love. You can meet their needs. But you cannot take responsibility for them. Because then you become the person who is controlling somebody. I hope this is getting there, becoming clear how we can stay free and loving at the same time. So, There are some key questions that will help us to maintain this. And you need to be asking those key questions regularly. What I find personally is if you have made the decision to do the will of God and you fight to maintain that, that is what it means to stay in God's rest, because you stop doing your own work and you do the work of God, Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. You want to do the will of God for the rest of your life. You've made that decision, you're free. Now you have to maintain that freedom while being loving and serving God. Now if you have made that decision and you allow God to work in your life to show you where people have gained illegitimate control over your soul, and you put their boundaries there and the limits there, when you do that, you're cleaning out your soul, your garden. And then somebody, because they will keep trying, remember you have a neighbor who has issues. I'm not saying about your physical neighbors now, but anybody you're relating to becomes your neighbor. The Bible says love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you're loving them, but they're there all the time. So if somebody who has issues and refuses to sort their issues comes to encroach on your garden, there are some things that will give you an indication immediately. Your emotions and your feelings. God has given us our emotions and our feelings as a gift for many reasons. When you lose your peace, Christian, authentic Christian, when you lose your peace and your joy, even for a moment, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's thrown at you, you're in charge. And with God and with the Holy Spirit helping you, you can stay at peace. Is that not what Jesus said? My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives that depends on circumstances. So something goes wrong, I fall apart. Something is wrong. That should indicate to you that something is wrong. Let's face it, so that God will help us to be better. So if it doesn't mean it won't happen. There will be things that encroach, but you have to be vigilant and alert and guard your heart. Once you lose your peace, the minute you lose your peace or joy, the first opportunity you get, go and spend time with the Holy Spirit and say, why have I lost my peace? I'm supposed to be at peace and have joy. Don't let it fester. If you let it grow from one day to another, for weeks, for months, you will break down. You'll be overwhelmed. Your soul will go from being a well-tended garden to that rubbishy garden. And it will all be your fault, because you won't say God is not there to help. We've been singing it today. He's ever so near with all his power to help us. So the moment you lose your peace or your joy, something has gone wrong. And you need to deal with it immediately. Don't let it fester. Now, what could help you deal with this? Diagnose what's going on. There are some things that generally will get you into that situation. You ask yourself a few questions. Do you care too much about what others think about you? If the answer is yes in that instant, then talk to yourself. You know what I tell myself? Say, don't even go there. I talk to my soul. I say, because no matter what you two do, they're going to think bad of you. That's what people do. It's either they don't think about you at all. Sometimes people lose sleep in the night thinking that people are just sitting around thinking about them. They're not even thinking about you. And you're suffering. You're thinking that they're having a meeting about you and discussing you. They may not be, but even if they are, who cares? Do you see what I mean? Tell yourself, I don't care. If they say you're bad, you say, yeah, that's why Jesus saved me. Don't start defending yourself to them because you want them to think you're good. You can think I'm bad. No, what matters to me is that God has forgiven me. Not defending myself to you to prove to you that I'm a good person. No, I will do good to you. I will be good rather than appearing good. And in the process of being good, you might even call me bad. But that's okay. So have a conversation with your soul until your soul gets it. And then your peace and your joy return. Praise God. The other thing you ask yourself, are you afraid of how people might react if you say no to unreasonable demands? Well, they can jump up and down and scream and shout. That's their problem. I'm not going to just appease you so you don't get angry. You can get angry if you want. But I'm going to do what I know to be right and what I know to be the will of God. Do you fret over what you cannot control? Just think how many times you get very upset over something you can't do anything about. Some people are losing sleep because they think Putin is going to send nuclear weapons. Can you control him? No, you can't. So why are you losing sleep? If worrying is going to stop something bad from happening, then worry away, please. But if you know you can't control it, just pray. Cast your cares upon the Lord and leave it with him. And have your peace. Anything that makes you lose your peace or your joy for a second is not the will of God for you. It is not the will of God for you. So don't fret about what you cannot control. Where people who perpetually don't assess, this thing I'm worrying about, can I do something about it? If the answer is no, then just pray about it and leave it. Don't worry about it. Don't waste your emotion on it. It's a waste. It doesn't achieve anything. And it leads people to depression. It leads people to anxiety. It actually leads people to addictions of different sorts. It makes people carry unnecessary guilt and shame. It even gives people panic attacks over, you know, something that you cannot control or change. Well, train yourself to always think about it. And if you really think, I can't control this thing, then leave it. You're not God. Just commit it to God and enjoy your peace. Even if they say tomorrow everybody is going to die, enjoy your peace today. I just love Peter. They were going to execute him the next day. He was having a peaceful sleep. Some people will just be, you know, just having a nervous breakdown, die many times before the death actually comes. In his own case, deliverance came. But don't fret over what you cannot control. And you certainly can't control other people. So don't fret about whether people do what you think they should do or not. You cannot control people. You shouldn't be planning to control people. Do you recognize what you are responsible for and can't control? See, sometimes we worry about the things we can't control. And then the things we can do something about, we don't. If something is a problem, the first question is, can I control it? Can I do something? Is it my responsibility to do something about it? Can I do anything about it? If not, pray, leave it. If you can do something about it, don't be lazy. Do something about it. Sort out your life. If you need to change the way you think, then get on with it and change the way you think. If you don't know the Word of God, make it happen. Change. Read your Bible. Listen to people. Let in the good things into your life. Open your heart to save people who can speak into your life so you can improve and get better. But you're responsible for it, then get up and do something about it. If you don't, if you're supposed to be praying, you're not praying, then do it. It's just do it. Don't pray, God, help me to pray. No, you just pray. Take responsibility. The things you can do, don't shirk them. Do what you're supposed to do. That's how to guard your heart. Now, for young people who are here, we prayed for you today about exams coming. Are you waiting for your parents to nag you to study? Are you, you know, just sort of thinking, nah, that is what you can change. Do you know, as you transition into adulthood, you should be taking responsibility. You don't wait until some parent says, that's what you should do, that's what you should do. A sign of you coming into genuine maturity of a Christian person is when you take responsibility and do the right thing, not because your parents said you should do it, but because you know it's the right thing to do. And in line with that, I want to suggest something that we are responsible for. And I'd really like the younger people to listen to this. You are responsible for what you believe and what you value. And from what I've been saying today, I hope you agree with me that the only way is to find out what God wants you to believe and what God wants you to value, and you make sure that becomes what you believe and what you value. It's not just the young people, it's all of us. We need to be checking what we believe and value and make sure it's in line with the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now that leads us to taking control of our thoughts. We talked about that in the inner life, how to have a pure thought life. You are in charge of your thoughts. If a bad thought comes in, don't fall apart because of that and let it just come at you. You take hold of that thought and throw it out and say, I'm not going to think that. You're in charge. You're responsible. So control your own thought life and make sure your thought life is in line with what is true and right and just and godly. And then your feelings will follow. God wants us to actually have peace and joy all the time, irrespective of what's going on. It is not something to be proud of, to always be miserable, no matter what's happening, to have a lack of peace in our lives. We need to take control and think the right thoughts, so that we can have that deep sense of shalom, well-being all over, because God Almighty is with us. Who or what can be against us? And then that starts to affect your choices and your behavior, your choices. And in the context of what we're doing, you can now truly serve God by loving people. Because it doesn't matter whether they say thank you. It doesn't matter where we've experienced that over and over again. You can make sacrifices because God says you should. You love people enough, and they turn around and give you a big kick the minute you stop doing what they think. The minute you have to say no to them because they're wanting you to do something that is contrary to the will of God, they kick you. But it doesn't matter. You know why? Because we're not looking to them in the first place to love us back or to say thank you. We didn't do it for that reason. We did it because it's the right thing to do. And God has already settled our reward in heaven, so they can kick away all they like. Doesn't matter anymore, does it? We're not devastated by it. And it won't stop us from doing good to the next person that comes along, because we're not hiding and building walls and protecting ourselves. Young people and old people as well, I want, because these things I'm talking about take some time to embed. I highly, highly recommend a summer reading for you. Where are the teenagers here? Please wave to me. Thank you. And also, anybody who's listening to me, harass your parents to pay for these books, the two I'm going to recommend. You only need one in the family and people can share and read it. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, Boundaries. Very biblical. And these people are experts in human behavior, but they are fine Christians that stay close to the Bible. When to say yes, how to say no, to take control of your life, learning healthy boundaries for your soul so you can be free to love, knowing what you're responsible for and what you're not. And you will have a deep sense of well-being and be very safe for people to be around. And that's another book I recommend. Please, young people, don't mess your life up before you learn the principles in this book. Take responsibility. Make sure you read this book and apply the principles in it. Henry Cloud, John Townsend again, How to Find Relationships That Are Good For You. And avoid those that aren't. Do you know the Bible teaches us to avoid people, certain people? Some people will tell you, if you do that, you're not a Christian. No, it says preach the gospel to everyone. Be available to preach the gospel. But in terms of who you let into your life to connect with, to speak into your life, to have influence over you, and you have influence over them, they've got to be safe. If they're not, limit their contact. Because they will throw rubbish into your soul. Safe people. So please, two summer readings. I'm saying summer because don't read them yet. Focus on your studies. But that in July and August, study these books. You will not regret it. Let's read these passages together as we finish. Galatians 5, 13 to 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. The second Bible passage is in 1 John 3, 16 to 17. Can I say before we read it that real love requires sacrifice? I've implied it, but I want to say it in words. We shouldn't just say we love people. Real love, if you want to meet somebody's need, even if the person is your enemy, it requires some sort of laying down of your life. Because what you would have used for yourself, you use it for somebody else. Maybe your time, or your energy, or your gifts, or your resources, your money, or your space. It requires sacrifice. There is no act of love that does not require you giving something that you could have kept for yourself. Let's understand that as we read this Bible passage. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Praise God. So in conclusion, if we live this way, we will be free, having self-control instead of bound, controlled by others. We'll be powerful instead of victimized. We'll be submitted instead of subdued. We'll be connected safely instead of isolated and lonely. We'll be fruitful instead of barren. Fruitful meaning we will have a reward for the things we've done. So our aim is freedom, to love God as we should, and to truly love others. Let's pray.